All right, Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl weekend flies right by this season. All right, here we are, Super Bowl weekend, on the road to teams trying to win state championships. But it starts by winning the Super Bowl. We got five of them, two on Friday night, three more on Saturday. Troy and Niskayuna on Friday night over at Colony at Ambrosio Field. The head coach of Niskayuna is Brian Grassdorf, and he joins us for a few minutes on 104.5 The Team. Coach, how are you?
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Team playing well. Great win last week, right? You must have been happy with that.
Yeah. Overall, good team win. Defense did a really nice job. And, you know, special teams has been a key for us all year. And then, obviously, offensively, we can make some plays. We got some playmakers. And it was a good team win.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you really, the only blemish you have on, you just have the one loss, right? That was to Shen early in the year.
Yep.
And that was, what, a touchdown?
Yeah, touchdown. I think we ran out of time on the 5-yard line or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, it was ridiculously close. Of course, you've been in the Double A ranks. Now you're down in the A's, and you really have had a tremendous season. And you really handled Troy. I don't know how many weeks ago that has been, but I will say I think Troy comes into this game playing extremely well, and it's a confident team that you're going up against.
Yeah. We played a great game over there a couple weeks ago. We came out hot. I mean, returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Then we scored a couple times in the next few plays. So, we really came out flying, but they're a very good team. They've been playing well. They're tough, physical. They got athletes. So, we're excited for the challenge. The last time we played means nothing. So 0-0 on the scoreboard and now it's Super Bowl weekend. So.
Well, how did that quarterback do against you? Their quarterback is, he's got speed to burn. Did you handle him first time around?
Yeah, we contained him pretty well, I thought. We're pretty fast on defense, and, you know, our guys, you know, we worked on it all week, and, you know, keeping him contained, he can definitely make plays. And I thought we did a good job of that, and our guys in the back end, I know we had at least one or two turnovers. So, we contained him, and, our guys made plays. So, but he's a tough kid to keep down over a lengthy period of time. But, you know, we're up for the challenge and, we're excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's Kyer, and he's had a good year. He's only a sophomore, so he's got a couple more years to do his thing in Section 2. Are teams still kicking off and punting to Cam Grasso?
A little bit, not too much.
I don't know why they would.
It's tough. I don't know if you want to, you know, kick it 10 or 15 yards and our offense gets the ball on the 40, or you try to kick it, you know, kick it deeper and, you know, hopefully to pin us back a little bit. So, whether he gets the ball or not, it's a threat. So it's a big advantage for us in the special teams game and, field position.
Well, he's had a lot of, kickoff returns, punt returns. I'm like, if I'm the opposing coach, I'm kicking it anywhere but to anywhere near Cam Grasso, because he is electrifying for you, and he's had a tremendous season. But you've got multiple guys, Brian. Talk about the playmakers in addition to Grasso that you have that have made plays for you all season long on offense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cam is a special player. And a playmaker anytime the ball's in his hands. And then we got Chase Meisner. He's had an excellent season for us running the ball. I think he's averaging over 12 yards a carry and got plenty of touchdowns. And then Joey DiPiazza is a sophomore too. Anytime he touches the ball, he's a threat to score, along with senior Amari Forrest. So, you know, we got 3-4 guys that are home run hitters anytime the ball's in their hands. So, if you want to bring more guys to Cam, it opens up things for other guys, and they're all capable playmakers. So I think it makes us tough to scheme against, and when the guys get their opportunities, they make the most of it.
How would you grade out your quarterback play this year?
Yeah, Thomas is doing great. Only a sophomore. He manages the game well for us. He makes good reads, finds good matchups, and he's made a lot of great throws this year, even though he's got, you know, good players to throw to. He puts the ball on the money for him, and in the last couple of weeks, weather-wise, has been a little tough. The 30-mile-an-hour winds, and last week was a little windy and rainy as well, too. So he's battled through that, but he manages the game for us, mans the huddle for us, and gets us in and out, and makes plays when we need him to.
Brian Grassdorf with us. It'll be Niskayuna and Troy in the Class A Super Bowl game tomorrow night over at Colony, part of the doubleheader. Then there's two games up at Shen on Saturday, and then the AA final will be Saturday night over at Colony again. Brian, how about this matchup here? What are some of the keys that you're looking at here that would produce a Niskayuna win against a pretty good Troy team?
Yeah, obviously we got to contain Kair, the quarterback, and you know, we got to stick to our jobs on defense, trust the guy next to us, fly around, make tackles, you know, the fundamentals of football, take care of the football, you know, win the turnover battle. And if we can continue to play like we do on offense, we're going to be tough to stop, but we know they're going to be ready to go, and we're going to have to play our best game to come out on top.
How good, Brian, have you been defensively this year?
Our defense has been real good. The first group, I don't know if they've let up a score in a month or so. So, you know, they fly around. I mean, their offense gets a lot of credit, but our defense does a real nice job. A bunch of games they've let up under less than 100 yards. And, you know, they fly around, make plays, they tackle, and it's something special to watch. You know, seeing all kinds of different offenses, too, from double wing to wing tee to spread. So they've done a great job each week, Coach Fury. Preparing those guys and scheming up. So there's something special to watch.
Well, looking forward to seeing you over there on Friday night, Coach. And if you want me to get you a ticket, well, you probably don't need me to do this, but if you want to meet me in Ithaca on Saturday, if you're not playing, which you probably won't be, you could go see Ithaca.
I haven't been to a quarter game in a while.
Well, my son Brady said they brought in extra seating, and he thinks it's going to be a near sellout, which would be 15,000 people.
There's nothing better than that, but especially down at Ithaca, and obviously playing the games at MetLife and Yankee Stadium is pretty cool too. But on campus, it's definitely a special weekend. So hopefully in Brady's next 4 years, I'll get down to one of them.
Oh yeah, you got to come see Brady play. He'll be in the playing group. We have a little red shirt freshman thing starting next year. So looking forward to it. When did you graduate Ithaca?
2010.
Wow, you're a young guy.
2011.
And you played football and baseball, right?
Yep.
Good days. I tell you what, I come off the hill, you know, watching the football game, and I look to the left. That baseball stadium, and I think, is pretty darn good too.
Yeah, it's a nice view overlooking over the lake too. So it's a cool spot for sure.
They have a nice tradition, and we talk all about their football program, but that baseball program is pretty rock solid.
Yeah, it's been a historically great baseball program. Coach Val was there for, I don't know, 40 years. Now his son's the coach there, so, you know, it's been a good program forever.
All right, well, I'll keep you updated on how things are going over in Ithaca on Saturday. In the meantime, I'll see you Friday night on the field for a live hit on WNYT.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. Brian Grassdorf with his head coach at Niskayuna. Obviously, their favorite to be Troy, but Jordan Canzari, the coach at Troy, you know, he's done a really good job. This team has improved a ton from last year to this year. Kyrick, quarterback, is really, he sees one of the better running quarterbacks for sure, because if he gets loose, he can make life difficult for that defense. He's fast, really fast, quick and fast. That's the combination with Kair, the quarterback at Troy High. And then Greenwich and Cambridge at 4, and we'll preview all of these games tomorrow morning with Big Game James Allen, who will come into the studio. We get Big Game in the studio tomorrow morning to run down all 5 of the Super Bowl games in high school football. All right, Pete Doherty's with us. We kick off week 11. Is that right? Week 11 in the NFL. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Jets at the Patriots tonight to get things rolling. Mr. Doherty, good morning.
Good morning, Roger. Yes, week 11. We're past the halfway pole right now, but there's still a lot of weeks left.
Yeah, a lot of weeks left. I was 8-6 last week. James Allen was 10-4. Kira was 8-4. She still leads the way from the Times Union. James Allen's in second from the Times Union. Roger Weiland's in third from the Times Union. Pete, you're down a little ways, but still not out of this thing, my friend.
I hope not. I got to figure out whose ticks I should copy for next week. I'm doing very well on my own.
Well, listen, I go one good week, one bad. So I had a, you know, an okay week, and probably going to go in the tank this week. That's kind of how I roll. Let's see how we do. Starting tonight with the Jets, +11.5 is at New England. No question, the Patriots are winning this game. I did say the Jets might be able to keep it a little bit closer than that. So I have the Jets to make it somewhat interesting, but no question, New England's getting the dub.
Yeah, no question. Everybody on the panel picked New England. The line is up to 12.5. I'm surprised it's that large for a division game because you never, you know, ask the Bills, you know, what happens. They play a division opponent, Miami, and get their butts handed to them. So I'm a little bit surprised that it's 12.5. I'm taking the points for sure in that one. It's just too many. I think the Jets will find a way to make it competitive. But the Patriots are playing so well right now. I guess that's probably influences the line, how well they're playing. They'll come coming off that nice victory in Tampa, but hopefully it's a close game. It's, you know, we need more of a close Thursday night games.
Yeah, let's kick off Thursday with a decent game. Hey, Jets have won a couple games in a row, so playing a little bit better. Maybe Justin Fields has a good game. If not, we'll see Tyrod Taylor in the third quarter. That would be my guess tonight. All right, let's go to Sunday. And in Madrid, Washington +2.5 at Miami. I'm going Dolphins here. I'm going to take the Dolphins to get another victory the way they played last week against Buffalo. I still am shaking my head on that one. And then Green Bay -7.5. I got the Packers winning and rolling over the Giants at MetLife on Sunday.
Miami's favored in that game by 2.5. I like the Commanders. I'd like to give you a good reason. I don't really have one. It's just kind of a hunch that they're due to. I don't see Miami playing two good games in a row. They haven't all year. The last time they won a big game, they beat Atlanta, and then they came out flat the next week. So I'm expecting more of the same. I like Washington in that game. I agree with you on Green Bay, even though the game is in New York. I like the Packers. I like -7.5. We'll see what the Jameis Winston can do. It does seem to bring some enthusiasm, at least to the media, by starting Winston, but I don't think that's going to be enough to get them a victory.
Yeah, he was having some fun with the media. I said, I think he'll play well. I do, but I mean, I think Green Bay did not have a good performance their last time out here, and I have a funny feeling they're going to be ready to roll against the Giants. All right, Tampa Bay at Buffalo. Tampa +5.5. I've got the Bills rebounding from a disaster in Miami, and then Carolina +3.5 at Atlanta. I've got the Falcons. So Bills winning at home, Falcons winning at home this weekend.
And I agree on both of those. I'm surprised the line was 5.5. I thought it would be much smaller than that for the Buffalo coming off that Miami loss, but they generally bounce back pretty well. I like the Bills. I'll give the 5.5. And I like Atlanta. I think Carolina's 5-5, but I think they've had a soft schedule. And Atlanta's just a better team. They have a better roster. I expect them to cover the 3.5.
All right, next up, Houston -7.5 at Tennessee, and Chicago +3 at Minnesota. I like Houston. I like the Vikings in both those games.
I do as well. You worry about Houston a little bit with Davis Mills, but Mills actually looked pretty good last week, and it looks like he's probably going to get the start again. Tennessee, even coming off a bye week, that just don't have the roster to compete with the Texans. And I like Minnesota at home. I'm surprised that line's only 3. I think the Vikings against a team like the Bears, which is kind of middle of the road, Vikings at home, you got to like them.
Yeah, for sure. And then, look, I watched the Steelers from the Baltimore airport coming back from a wedding in Pittsburgh where Aaron Rodgers turned in his worst performance of this season by far. The Steelers were just not good on Sunday night, and they got rolled. So I think they're going to rebound from that. They got Cincinnati coming in. Cincinnati +5.5. Give me the Steelers on Sunday. And then should be a good game. The Chargers, Pete, -2.5 at Jacksonville. I'm going Los Angeles there.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame it all on Aaron Rodgers. That offensive line really is pretty porous right now. There's another game I'm surprised. The line was 5.5. I think it should be smaller. That said, I like Pittsburgh minus because I think the Steelers finally have a defense that they can probably move the ball against because the Bengals are so bad defensively. Should be a high-scoring game. I think the Steelers have enough on defense to slow the Bengals down a little bit and can score. So I'll take the Steelers. I'll jump on your bandwagon for 1 week.
There you go.
And I agree with you on the Chargers. -2.5. Chargers are playing pretty well. Jacksonville, every year it seems like they get off a good start, then they fade down the stretch, and they're doing the same this year. I expect them to continue to fade and lose to the Chargers.
And when you're picking a game of the week, and there's a bunch of them this week, you got to include Seattle +2.5 at the LA Rams. That is an outstanding matchup on Sunday. And I wavered back and forth on this. And you know, Pete, I don't waver too much. As soon as you send those out, I turn them back in very quickly, or I'll forget. So I do it in a rapid fashion. But I did stop and think about it. I'm going Rams at home, but I certainly could see Seattle winning that game. And then I like San Francisco, Pete, -3 to win at Arizona.
And I'm going to disagree on both accounts. I like Seattle at the Rams. They're both playing really well. Seattle's turned into a really good road team. They've always been a pretty good home team, but they've had a lot of victories, good victories on the road. Should be a really good game, like you say. I'm going to take Seattle in that one. And I'm not really sure why. I could change my mind. I've gotten Arizona winning at home against San Francisco. I really like Jacoby Brissett. I think is actually giving them more offense than Kyler Murray did. He's just a taller quarterback that can see over the offensive line. They got smoked last week by Seattle, but that was more of a turnover thing than anything else. I think Arizona's got a chance. I'm going to pick them against the 49ers.
All right, on to the next two. Baltimore, they're on a roll. Baltimore is on a roll. I picked them last weekend, and they took care of business. Got a great win by the Ravens. They're now turning into the team that you thought they might be at the beginning of the year. Baltimore -8.5 at Cleveland. They're going to roll the Browns, and then Kansas City is going to start rolling here too. And I know Denver's had a really good year, but I've got the Chiefs -3.5 winning in Denver.
You kind of look for teams this time of year that aren't roller coaster teams like the Bills. And the Ravens, despite those five losses, they've been consistent the last few weeks, ever since Lamar Jackson got back, and I think they continue to roll. The only thing I'd caution about, I understand Lamar Jackson was limited in practice yesterday because of the knee. You kind of want to keep an eye out for that, but certainly if he doesn't play, the emphasis would change on that game. And I'm a little surprised Kansas City's favored by 3.5 at Denver, but I love the Chiefs here. Coming off a bye, Andy Reid is practically unbeaten coming off bye weeks, going back to the time when he's with the Eagles. 2 weeks to prepare for a Denver team that's obviously at the top of the division. I'd like the Chiefs to win on the road.
Yeah, and that's another headline game. Seattle Rams, headline game. Kansas City at Denver, headline game. And then settle in Sunday night. Detroit in Philadelphia at the Link. And this is a tough one. Detroit +1.5 because the Eagles are home, because I'll be watching the game with my wife. I'm going Philadelphia to win here.
I like Detroit. I just think the Lions, the way they can play an offense, if they get any kind of defense at all, and the Eagles have shown some vulnerability on offense. I like Detroit to win the game, but again, a really, really great game to watch. Be exciting to watch that game. Hopefully a little higher scoring than the Monday night Eagles game.
And then we end on a Monday nighter and an old stinker of a game here. The Dallas Cowboys -3.5 at Las Vegas. I don't even want to watch this game, but I'll take the Cowboys to win at Vegas.
I do too. It's a toss-up game for me. I'm sure Michael will watch every play and be really into it. If I find something better to do, I might. I'm sure the Cowboys are a TV draw, so I don't think ESPN's all that upset by it, but certainly they would hope for a better Raiders team when they saw this game on the schedule. This is probably their worst Monday night game of the year from a competitive standpoint. Two teams that probably aren't going to the playoffs. So, sorry, Michael, but not a game I'm going to be necessarily tuned into.
No offense taken, Pete. I might not be myself depending on how they show up, but we'll see.
Yeah, you don't beat Vegas. It'd be a really
season's
long
season. Already over. You it don't already beat Vegas, is over. It just becomes more humiliating.
Yeah, Cowboys are not a playoff team this year, but I think they're going to beat the Raiders, who just aren't very good. All right, Pete. Always a pleasure. We crank it up now in week 11 of the NFL season. Good luck to you, Mr. Daugherty.
Okay, one quick thing here, Roger. I don't know if you guys have addressed this on the air, but you've heard the latest Penn State rumor.
No.
What do we got?
Brian Daboll as head coach.
Oh.
I love that. Oh, I absolutely love that.
What is the tie to that?
He's a great offensive mind. He was offensive coordinator, I believe, at Alabama.
He was.
Under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And they need some help on offense. I mean, they bring these quarterbacks in that are highly, five-star quarterbacks, and they don't develop. Well, he's the one that developed Josh Allen, or at least gets credit for developing Josh Allen. So why not, get a guy like that, get another five-star quarterback and have him develop. And
wow.
I think it's a, I think that would be a great hire. And you can get him now.
Yeah.
Because he's available.
He's available.
And, you know, you could even, you know, have him hang around the last couple of games to see how things are and get a head start on recruiting and the transfer portal and all that. I think that would be a home run, but we'll see. It's just something I saw floated out there yesterday.
Ryan,
well, I would sign up for that, to be honest with you, just because he and he's a big name, make a big splash. If it's going to happen, it better happen now because we're in peak time for recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be a good move. And right now, Penn State's in the race. They have to win the final three games in order to make a bowl. I'd like to see him do it just to, you know, get something out of the season after that heartbreaker Indiana.
Bro, that was tough. That was difficult. We'll see what happens next. Pete, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
All right, talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thanks, Pete. Pete Doherty with us from the Times Union. Connect, you're right to the brand-new hockey facility over there in Schenectady, right there. Right there at the bunker location where we were yesterday. Coach Josh Halgy has Union Hockey playing at a high level. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
A little down on you guys right now. You're at the bunker. You didn't even swing by and say hello.
I know. We're there at what time? 10 in the morning.
10 to 1.
But it opens at 11. Would you be able to pop in on lunch sometime?
For sure.
All right.
Love to.
Yeah. I'll buy you a cold one, too. How's that?
That's next time that way. That's on us. Hand up, Coach. That's on us.
we'll take care of the frosty beverage. Yeah. So 5-2-1, pretty darn good shot. We must have been happy with the weekend, right?
You know what? There is some good things and some bad things. We're figuring out what it takes to win, and you know, I thought Saturday you saw us get to some high traffic areas and finish a little bit more. Friday I felt like when you get 40 shots on net, you got to score more than we did. So that was, that's a little bit of a theme for us right now.
All right. So that's the bad. What's the good right now to the Union hockey team?
Well, I do think, I'm not a huge analytic guy. You know, I like to coach from my gut, but like when you look at the analytics, we're, you know, honestly, like we're a top five hockey team in the country the way we're playing in a lot of ways. But it all comes down to, you know, stringing games together and, you know, being really good on Fridays and Saturdays. So our schedule, you know, out of conference hasn't been the most daunting. So I think you'll see where we really stack up playing against two really good teams this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. But it has a nice ring to it when you said that, one of the top five schools in the country.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, looking at the positive of it, and you still, right, you still got to play the games, and in college hockey this year, really, like, anybody can beat anyone, so to be generating the chances and that we have been and limiting our opponent to that, to the you know, to few chances, it's positive.
All right, would a positive be Braden Gillespie?
Yeah, he played great, you know, a freshman goaltender getting his first start, stepped right in and looked like an experienced veteran and made some key saves when we needed him.
Would a positive be Colby MacArthur and Nate Hanley, Coach?
Yeah. So for us, if you'd have told me that those two guys were scoring their first goal the ninth game of the season, I thought we would be in big trouble. So now that we got those guys, you know, they kind of have a little bit of their swagger back and the confidence you need from your top players. I'm really excited to see what they can do.
All right. And this weekend you have UMass Lowell and New Hampshire coming into M&T Bank Center on Friday and Saturday night. What's the scouting report on those two? I mean, New Hampshire, they were just in town against RPI, right?
They play them on Friday.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Saturday
they're coming
well.
In. Yeah,
so,
I got
yeah.
you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, with UMass Lowell's a heavy hockey team, really well coached. They play a hard game and looked outnumbered you all over the ice. And then a little bit different on Saturday with UNH. They're pretty skilled, maybe a little bit lighter as far as just not as physical. But obviously the big storyline there for us is, you know, Kyle Chevette returning to play against us.
Oh, that's right. What's the buzz on your team about that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the transfer portal's just, it's huge in all of athletics right now. And you kind of have to accept it. But I don't think our guys love it. So I think, I think it'll be interesting. I think for us, it's been a focal point to get traffic to the net and make it hard on opposing goaltenders. And I don't think I'm going to have to remind the guys to get to the net on Saturday.
No, I'm sure you are not going to have to remind anybody to do that. And it's still that newness of the M&T Bank Center, right? So well received. The novelty is going to take a long time before that wears off. And I'm preaching to me here that if you haven't had a chance to get over and see a game in that new facility, you should do yourself a favor and do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I mean, I just think the amenities for the fans are outstanding. Whether it's grabbing a drink from the bar or just a lot of different concession options, and it's really, there's not a bad seat in the house.
These are two non-conference games. Well, what have you made out of the so far out of the ECAC? Any surprises here early on in the season?
No, I think it's much more competitive. Obviously, Yale getting a couple wins with a new coach was a bit of a surprise, beating Quinnipiac and Princeton. So, a good start for them. Obviously, Dartmouth looks to be pretty good as well, as they're 4-0 and 2-0 in conference play. Anytime Quinnipiac loses early in the season, that's a bit of a surprise. And they've got, a regulation loss and an overtime loss. So a regulation loss and an overtime win. So they're chasing a little bit, which is always nice.
Yeah. And when is your when is the Mayor's Cup? Is that at the end? Is that after the first year? Is that before the first year?
Yep. Yeah. So that'll be in January. So we got some time there.
Yeah, got some time there. All right. Fair enough, Coach. Well, listen, enjoy the weekend. Knock down a couple of non-conference wins, and we'll. We'll meet you back here this time next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Coach Algie. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. You too.
All right, it's hour number three on a Thursday. That means it's Coach Mullen time, the UAlbany women's head basketball coach. Colleen Mullen, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Phenomenal.
Good,
phenomenal.
Thanks, Coach.
Nice win over Dartmouth. Must have been happy with that performance, right?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, bouncing forward, as we like to say, from Syracuse, it was certainly a great win and a good team effort.
Yeah, it was. I was watching the beginning. They get down 7-0, right? Then you called a timeout, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, I gave them the business now. Yeah, I mean, we started off flat, and I've learned kind of in the first couple games in the scrimmages that this team really responds to timeouts, whereas, sometimes in the past with a little bit more of an experienced team and players that have played in the system a little bit longer, I could go a little longer, but and just even when Dartmouth would call timeouts, the players just really are able to execute and reload and restart from timeout. So called the timeout and scored. They pressed us, scored from there, and then went on a pretty good run. And I don't think we trailed after that. So.
Yeah. I like timeouts too. I remember calling a game years ago when I actually did a play-by-play at Siena, believe it or not, for a year or two when Mike Dean was coaching, and he was unbelievable. One game, he called three timeouts in a row, like literally timeout, team went out, stunk up the joint again. He called another timeout, sent him back out. They stunk again. He called another timeout, and then they finally played right. I said, Mike, you just called three timeouts literally within a minute. Yep, that's what I did. So
Whatever you got to do.
Whatever you got to do. I got to tell you, keep giving the ball to Amaya Stewart. I mean, I don't want to make too big a deal out of her because she's only a freshman. You don't want to go too crazy here, but boy, she's got a lot of nice parts in her game, and I love when she's down low. And that reminds me of the young lady you had in your program for 4 years. It was really good.
Yeah, I know. She's just, I mean, Kayla was such a presence inside, and luckily we have, we're doing a similar offense that we did before because we have a good inside presence, and we have a good look. We have a lot of good look opportunities for Amaya from what we ran for similar stuff that we ran for Kayla. But, for a freshman to be able to have such confidence and such a presence on the floor, she's just, I said it last time, like she's such a crowd pleaser, sprinting for transition layups, getting offensive boards, just making like those momentum plays, not just finishing really strong around the basket. But she still does freshman, stuff. But when she really learns to play post defense and she can face up and and play with her back to the basket and just really take her time. You know, her best basketball is ahead of her. But I told her yesterday in practice, I'm like, don't expect to get a double, you know, a double-double in a game and not see an actual double, you know, on the block. So you have to be able to really start handling that. People are going to key in on her when she comes in, and she's going to be able to handle that. So that'll be another step in her repertoire. So.
And then how's her passing, right? You got to be able to pass well out of a double team.
Absolutely. I mean, Kayla was a terrific passer, but Kayla was on the smaller side, so only 5'10", and Amaya's 6'1", so she has a little bit more vision, and she's a pretty good passer. It really comes down to footwork. You know, when you're getting trapped or you're getting doubled in the post or people are digging down on you, like, you have to be able to feel the defense and, okay, do I need to make a quick move and go one-on-one before the double gets there, or do I need to be able to reverse pivot, square up, you know, in a strong position so I can read the kickouts, either the skip opposite or my other post player diving or, you know, who's ever kind of helping down on her. And that's just going to take some time and experience.
So how do you pronounce Langerman's first name?
Oh, geez.
Is it Laura?
Really, Roger? I say I actually call her by her first and last name in the game because we have another girl named Laura Vera, and she's pronounced Laura Vera.
Okay.
And the other one is like, you have to roll your R, and I'm not going to try to do it.
All right, yeah. Well, she's
myself, but Laura.
Yeah.
Something
like that. Yeah, we'll have to get the pronunciation guide from Sports Information. But Langerman can shoot it, right? I saw a nice and you know who else has really good vision on your team, and I'm telling you something you already know, but Delaney Hill to me really sees the floor well. I mean, she made a nice drive early in the game, baseline, good kick out to Langerman in the corner, and she knocked down a three, and That was a pretty I like how that worked. And is Langerman somebody that can consistently make threes for you this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's proven that she can knock them down, and she's confident right now. And she's also giving us a lot on the defensive end. Just her and Amaya giving us a huge spark coming off the bench. But I think, like, one of the great things about the team, and you mentioned Delaney, like, making passes, and I mean, she had 7 assists in the last game, and it's just, you know, being able to get into the paint, go by your player, play off 2 feet, and make those extra passes and give up good shots for great shots, that's what's going to make us really dangerous and good. Because right now, as stars emerge, I mean, Martina's playing very well, Delaney, Amaya, as stars emerge right now, it really is by committee. And the more we move the ball, the more everybody's a threat and has confidence, the stronger that we are. And people right now are just, we're moving the ball a lot better, even than we did last year. You know, last year we just had so many stars, so many offensive threats that at any given time somebody could go one-on-one or shoot. But this year we're really focusing on that pace and space and moving the ball and making the defense work side to side.
How last time I talked to you, you were getting ready to go to Syracuse. Did you not play well there?
Yeah, no, I think it was a combination of just some inexperience and maybe just a lack of preparation on my end for just being able to really communicate and imitate the type of pressure and athleticism we were going to see. I mean, we're a different team. Syracuse is a different team. They have a lot of Power Four transfers that came in, you know, Texas, Michigan, just some talented, tall, athletic players, and they just really, really pressured us and made us feel uncomfortable, and we really had a hard time executing our sets. And then in the fourth quarter, we scored 27 points. So what could have been a complete blowout, we never gave up, and we chipped away. And, you know, they showed a lot of resilience and a lot of toughness by, you know, not packing it and giving up. But, you know, and I hate to complain about the officials because I'm not somebody that ever complains about the officials, but the game was extremely physical, and there is some different rules on how people can defend the ball handler dribbler this year in terms of, you know, body contact. But some of the just physicality was very blatant. So on top of a lot of pressure and fouls that weren't being called, it just really set the stage of how Syracuse could play for the whole game. And certainly didn't play in our favor. So once we kind of adjusted to that and were able to you know, not worry about that. We pretty much ran out of time. It was the fourth quarter, game was over. But Delaney Hill and Martina had great second halves, and I was really just happy how we finished the game, and that gave us good momentum going into Dartmouth.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you bounced back great against Dartmouth. What are you going to run into Saturday at Rhode Island?
Yeah, I mean, another really athletic team. I mean, Rhode Island has, I mean, an entirely new team. I think they returned five players from last year. Their leading scorer was on the team last year but didn't play against us. She joined the team late. They have a lot of players from France, but very athletic, going to pressure us, very similar to Syracuse, just not as big in every position, but they do start like 6'5", 6'3". So they've got a lot of size, a lot of athleticism. So luckily we've played Syracuse, so we've learned from that mistake, and I think we're going to really prepare these next 2 days, just going against pressure, being able to still execute, you know, our offense under that type of denial and ball pressure. And then more of the same just in terms of our defense. They want to score quickly. They have a lot more offensive threats than they did last year. So they're trying to score in transition. We really have to stop the ball, get back on defense, protect the paint. And then they had 17 boards on us last year. So we know we really need to box out. And rebounding is key. They're athletic. They're taller than us. So we've got to check and box out and then hopefully – you know, run our transition.
And then Wednesday, and you come back, you're home Wednesday against Siena, right?
Yep.
Okay.
We've got the Albany Cup on Wednesday, yep. So we get a quick turnaround.
You owe them, don't you?
Yes, they got us last year, and they were down players, and they played a heck of a game.
Yeah,
last
I remember
year
that.
There. They really played tough, and, you know, we certainly, you know, didn't play the way we felt like we were capable of playing, but I thought Siena just played very, very tough. So yeah, we know we got to focus on Rhode Island, and then, you know, it'll certainly be exciting.
Yeah, be fun.
You know, next Wednesday.
And now, are you consistently tipping your home games off during the week at like 6 or 6:30?
6:30.
Yeah, got it. All right. Well, listen. Congrats on the win against Dartmouth. Your team looked really good. I watched that from my studios at WNYT. Keep it rolling, and good luck Saturday at Rhode Island, Coach.
Thanks so much, guys.
We'll talk to you soon, Coach Mullen, every Thursday here on Big Board Sports. And the Gilderland boys soccer team moving on. How about, four straight overtime games in the postseason for the veteran head coach and our good friend Mike Canale? How about it? Mike, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon, Raj. Thanks for having us on.
Yes, sir. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a long week. Not a whole lot of sleep in the last week. I don't think there's ever been four overtimes before, but, you know, we'll take the result and move on.
Yeah, I read somewhere you said we're playing with house money, and I guess that's about right with this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of people didn't expect a whole lot of us. We started out 0-3-3, then we ran off 7 in a row, played a good game at the end of the year against Albany, went into sectionals feeling good, but, you know, overtime the first time, and then I think 16 penalty kicks in the next two games. And then we played a man down in the overtime this past weekend, and we're lucky enough to come up with the goal.
Yeah, it was a 2-1 double overtime win over Elmira.
Yeah, it was quite a ride home, too. We didn't get home until about 1:15 a.m. on Sunday.
Come on. And you love it. You've been doing this a long time. And I know one thing, I will say this about you, Mike, and I'm with you. It's really all about the players and seeing them get a chance to play at the level they are, to enjoy the moment, and you do a great job coaching the fundamentals. You always have. Your teams always seem to be there. But you look at this group and you say, at beginning of the year, did you think you were going to be in this spot? I covered you at the Colony game when you won. That was an overtime, and that was kind of the beginning of it right there.
Yeah, that's when it all started. I mean, I knew we had talent this year, but it's all about putting together. We're a little undersized compared to past years. And like I said, when you go 0-3-3 to start, you start to question it. But we had that gauntlet of the Suburban Council early. And then we got on a roll, and so much of this is the guys believing in themselves and the grit that we show. And they play for each other. And like you said, you know, this isn't about, you know, the coaching staff or anything else. We get pure enjoyment out of knowing that the kids are creating memories and nobody can take this away from them no matter what happens.
Well, no, I will correct you. It is about coaching. I mean, you're Gilderland and I'm fond of Canale. He taught both of my older kids at Gilderland and had great experience and was around my older group. But your teams are always, Mike, fundamentally sound. And when you talk soccer in the area, you talk Gilderland. You talk about what degree of good is Gilderland going to be this year. And I don't know what they said at the beginning of this season, but here you are against Fairport from Section 5, right? State semifinals.
Yeah, they're
are they
state
any good?
Champs undefeated for the last year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got a decent squad. You know, we've watched some videos and we're like, wow, I don't know if we've seen too many guys that size move like that.
Oh boy. So what kind of play? Talk about coaching. What's the plan, Coach Canale?
Well, like I said, we've watched some video. We're making sure that they're very dangerous on restarts, so we're making sure we get the right matchups on any restart. Trying to find some patterns in what they do where we think we can exploit a few things. We've moved some kids around. Like we said, we believe we're playing with house money right now. There's really no pressure on us. They're returning. They've been there. I mean, we've been there, but they're, you know, returning from last year. So, we've been inside the dome indoors with this bad weather, and we're going to have a little scrimmage today with Maple Hill, friends of ours.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
And then we'll get it ready.
Yeah, that's a good scrimmage. Maple Hill's pretty good.
Yeah, their coach and I go way back. When I moved back here, we were on a lot of the all-state and local committees together. He's a great coach, great guy. We've scrimmaged last week. They like the opportunity to play on turf, and we like the opportunity to have a quality competition with some good kids and some good coaching.
What was, Mike, what would you say would be the turning point for you this season when, okay, coming off a tough loss, you got this thing back on the rails?
Well, I mean, it really was Saratoga. I think, I don't know if I told you earlier, we had I wouldn't say it was one of our best games against Saratoga. We lost 3-2, but we never really looked like we were into the game. And we had Albany coming up, so we went and scouted Albany. We changed our formation and played against our JV team in a different formation to get ready. And we won 6-0. And we put away a lot of our opportunities, even though Albany was a really good side and really good offensively. I was like, wow, you know, we put away 6 goals. Of course, then we go in and, you know, it takes overtime against Colony, but I still knew that it was there. And like I said, the guys have just fought so hard and worked so hard and overcome adversity. It's a real special group.
And Ebers is one of your top players, right? His first team All-Star Suburban Council?
Yeah, I think Jackson's got over 50 goals the last 3 years. You know, three-sport athlete, great kid, our captain. Has taken just a beating this year because everybody knows about him.
Yeah.
He's drawn 2 and 3 guys.
Yep.
And then Karam has just been out. You know, we moved one of our forwards back to center back, and he was just absorbed the decision. You know, kids nowadays could fight that and say, hey, coach, I'm a forward. Don't put me in the back. But these kids, they all play for each other. So we just make sure that he comes up on any restart so that we don't lose his athleticism.
Are you without one of your top players for Saturday?
Yeah, Emerson got 2 yellow cards. On Saturday, we debated the second one pretty hard. We didn't think that that was a deserving yellow. And he's one of our anchors in the middle. So, to say the least, we're moving some pieces around this week. And we're never going to replace them, but we're going to see where we can, like, you know, lessen the blow a little bit there.
Yeah. What time is that game Saturday?
We're at 3:45.
Okay.
So it should be at least 40 degrees by then.
yeah,
and it's funny, I lived in Middletown. My wife and I got married in Middletown. I used to teach down there. So it's a little bit of a homecoming. We got some of our friends from down there that'll be coming out.
That's great. Well, listen, you've done it all, and you've experienced it all, and now you're going to experience this again. But I'm assuming, Mike, with you, this never gets old.
No, not at all. Like I said, as long as the kids are enjoying it, you know, we're tickled to watch them and watch them jump around. I don't jump around with them like I used to. And but just seeing the joy that they have and knowing that, you know, this memory is going to be with them. We had our banquet last night, which is the second time we've had our banquet with our season is still going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a big crowd last night, and the kids got to talk, and they just talked more about family and about each other and about people doubting them and playing for each other. And when they say that, then you know you've done a pretty good job.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you'll put them in the right spot. I know you'll have a great game plan, and then that's all you can do, see what happens. But good luck. Get it done again, Coach. Get to the championship.
Well, thank you to all of you, and we appreciate your support.
Of course. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mike Canale, Four straight overtime games in the postseason. How about that story? Four straight overtime games. And I covered the first one. We did a hashtag Rods in the Row. We went out to Gilder and they were playing Colony. And it was not a great night. It was in terms of the weather. It was rainy. It was kind of miserable. And we were the only cameras rolling on that one. And they knock in the game winner. And the celebration was on. And we did our hashtag Rods in the Road and celebrated with Gilderland Boys Soccer. I've known Mike Canale for a long time. I wrote a quick take about him in the newspaper because he's really a good guy. Like, he really cares about the players. He loves the sport. He's a retired teacher now, but he can coach. I mean, I'm not a big soccer guy, right? To me, I'm like, why can't we score more goals in soccer, please? Please go and kick the ball in the net. Why is it so hard? And I know it's hard. But Canale is his teams are always well prepared. They're always good, and he's an excellent teacher of the game. Gilderland is so fortunate to have had him for as long. He's well over 20 years of coaching in Gilderland. I'm a big fan of what he has done over the many years for that sport.